Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 16th, 2017. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you, Dave?
I am good. Very good, in fact. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Glad you're here. And John Martellaro, I hope you are well, too.
I am happy to be here.
That's great, because everything is awesome.
Especially when you're part of this team.
Yeah, and Dave, the fact that you picked up on that right away is one of the reasons why I just love you, man. And hey, we have a sponsor today. Sponsor is GoDaddy. They have a discount for you, but I'm not going to tell you about it yet because I want to talk about Apple. And I want to talk about immigration, and I want to talk about executive orders. And when I put it all together, here's the deal. So there was an executive order that came from the White House last month that banned travel from seven countries and through green card and visa holders into this weird position where people didn't know if they could still be in the country, and that eventually ended up in court and was blocked.
By the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yes. And so now we have a second executive order that came out of the White House attempting to do the same thing with a couple changes. Iran? Oh, I can't remember. One of the two is not on the list anymore.
Iraq. The Defense Department requests that Iraq be exempt because of travel.
Thank you. So Iraq is no longer on the ban list. So it's now six countries. And the wording that impacted green card holders and visa holders has been removed. So that makes, from a business standpoint, a significant difference between this executive order and the previous one. Now, a federal court in Hawaii issued a temporary ban last night on this second executive order. So it did not go into effect today when it was scheduled. And so now we'll have the whole legal process as this works its way through the courts, and we'll see what happens ultimately. But from the opposition side to this, when we had the first executive order, there were over 120 companies, corporations, that signed an amicus brief or friend of the court brief supporting a block on the ban. And for this case, for the second executive order, there are less than 60 companies. So it's I want to say it's like 58 companies that signed this amicus brief. Apple is not on the list. Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter, and many companies, clearly, because less than half signed the order. But there are many companies that signed the previous amicus brief that did not sign this one. And I'm curious what you guys think about that, and especially from the Apple perspective, since we cover Apple all the time.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty obvious, at least at the moment, that the reasoning for Apple signing onto the first one is the same reason that they did not sign this one, and that it is not politics for them. It is business, right? They need to be able to have their employees move around. And with this one, trying to limit that as much, I think it doesn't impact them as much.
That's so it's exactly just business. Right, Dave. That's a great perspective. Yes, I agree with you. Business in the first case.
It's just business. Applied. Yeah. I think it's pretty obvious. I hate to project anything, but I think it's pretty obvious that many of the people in Apple's, C-suite executive level don't agree with the politics of this particular path either, but that's not business. And from Apple's standpoint, it's very different if a person has an opinion versus a business stating an opposition. And on this one, you know, it's obvious that the business stating the opposition, i.e. Apple, was doing it for business reasons, not political or social reasons.
Yeah, what was happening was that Judge Watson in Hawaii, as I recall from watching the news, was that despite the watering down of the travel ban 2.0, there were many historical perspectives that the judge took into account.
Yeah.
He was able to extract statements that Donald Trump had made and that Rudy Giuliani had made as evidence that there was a persistent sense of discriminatory action in this 2.0 ban, which prevented new people from coming into the United States. And in that sense, while the president has the authority to do that, it doesn't have the authority to make it discriminatory. And
right.
Using the historical evidence and the perspectives of the government as weight, the judge ruled against the second version, which is a political decision, not something that affects Apple's business going forward. So that's what happened. And so it makes perfect sense what Apple did, staying out of politics.
Got to stay out of it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's, I mean, we say that, or I say that, absolutely. But there are plenty of businesses that have chosen to dive right into the political discussion, despite the fact that it doesn't have anything to do with their business directly. And that's probably worthy of a whole other conversation. In fact, we had that conversation on my small business show. So businessshow.co. And there, I'll plug it for myself.
and we'll make sure there's a link to that episode in today's show notes as well.
Thanks.
Well, businesses are people. They have lots of rights, Jeff, Dave, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Businesses have rights, so they get to express political opinions as if they were people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, now...
I'm not even going there.
Looking at this as a business move... And Dave, I think you're right. I think that's what's happened here with the first executive order and with what John is calling. I love it, John. Executive Order 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not me.
Yeah, well,
that's all over Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Nonetheless, you're here and you said it. Therefore, I'm going to credit you, and it's up to the rest of the internet to prove me wrong. So
I thought it. Therefore, it is.
There you go. But the thing is that I'm now wondering how many people that are using products and services from the companies that chose not to participate in the second amicus brief are going to get some sort of backlash. And
that's the issue. That's the issue. I think without the understanding of, as Dave explained so elegantly, understanding of why Apple and some other companies did not sign the version 2, I imagine there would be all sorts of fuss and wringing of hands and thinking that maybe these companies folded under some sort of political pressure from the White House, or that there was some, you know, quid pro quo going on, or that they had betrayed the original values, or they lost interest. So understanding the analysis that Dave described so well is very important to this process. And I
think if anybody folded, it was the administration. I think if anybody folded, it was the administration, right? Because these companies put up a resistance to it. And they took a look at the resistance and said, you know what? We can actually take that out so you don't have anything to worry about anymore. And they did.
Yep. Yeah.
It worked.
It worked.
It didn't quite work the way perhaps.
What's interesting about 2.0 was that the original plan was to make it on paper court proof. And what happened was the court said, well, there's two perspectives here. There's the text of the 2.0, and then there's the context and the motivation behind it. And the court evaluated everything that went before in the context of their decision rather than just what was written on the paper. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
it is. And I expect that we're going to hear at least some people express disappointment that whatever company they like didn't participate in the amicus brief this time around. And I think what's happened is that people are looking at these companies as an extension of their own voice. And so they want the companies to represent them in the political arena now. And that's not what the purpose of a corporation is.
Exactly. Well said, Jeff.
I thank you. So, all right. Well, we could see this change because there's nothing preventing these companies from openly supporting the fight to keep the ban on Executive Order 2.0 in place. So, you know, that we could see more companies join in at some point down the road. But Dave, I think you nailed it. This is about business and not politics. And with that, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is GoDaddy. And GoDaddy is the world's largest domain name registrar. They have 62 million domain names under their management. They have more than 14 million customers around the world. And what they want to do is help small businesses get online and get a professional business presence going so that they can be found by whoever happens to have a web browser and internet access. So the deal is that they have all these online tools that they've put together to help you get your online presence up and running. And they have 24/7 support for you so that if you're having trouble getting that website set up the way you want, there's someone there to help you. And GoDaddy says they have everything you need to get your business online. And to help make that a little more enticing, they have a 30% discount that you can take advantage of. So if GoDaddy has the tools that you need to get your business up and running online, head over to their website, and that's GoDaddy.com. And then pick out the tools and services that you need, and the new ones that you're picking out are going to be 30% off because you're going to use the discount code TDO30. That's TDO30. So head over to GoDaddy.com, use that discount code TDO30, get 30% off your new products and services order. And thank you, GoDaddy, for being our sponsor. All right, John, you wrote something yesterday that caught my interest, and it was 8 things about your Apple Watch that you just love. And what made that stand out for me is that we've had discussions in the past about Apple Watch and whether or not it's a standout product, whether or not it has killer features that you just can't live without, or we just can't live without. And you came up with a list of the things that are really standing out for you. So I thought we should take a look at that.
Yeah, it was warmly received. So what happened is that about a week ago, I read another article by an author who said, well, I wore my Apple Watch for a few months, didn't do anything for me, put it in a drawer. I haven't worn it since. And I started thinking about how we all approach the watch differently. And so I thought, well, maybe it's time for me to just talk about how I feel about the Apple Watch, because I hadn't recalled putting together a list of all the things. It takes a while to get, you know, used to a device like that and figure out what the standout features are. Mm-hmm. Over time, it became clear to me that here were the things that I was depending on. Here are the things that I loved. And so I just sat down yesterday afternoon and I thought, well, let's just make a list and kind of describe how I feel about the watch and what it does, its virtues for me. And maybe in the process of explaining why I love my Apple Watch and continue to love it after 22 months, that maybe some other people will discover some things that they had perhaps overlooked.
All right. So what are some of these things?
Well, in no particular order, I like to keep track of my daily steps. Mm-hmm. So I have a goal for every day. As a writer, I need to do that because I sit too much. The calendar is plop in the middle of my screen. I showed a screenshot the way my home screen is set up. And I got the calendar right there in the middle, and it shows me my next thing that's going to happen. So I sync to my calendar, and I keep my calendar up to date on the Mac. And then every time I look at my watch, it says, this is what you need to do next. And in my life, the way it's structured with things going on and TMO activities and family life, I need to know what's next. So that's really important for me. Another thing I like a lot is the logging of a workout. Every time I take a walk, I use the workout app. Mm-hmm. And I can see during the walk in real time as I walk my heartbeat and my calories and how far I've walked. And then that gets uploaded to my phone. I showed a screenshot of that in the article.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And another thing I find very convenient is being able to take phone calls and texts. It sounds obsessive, you know, because the meme is that, you know, you don't want to always be pestered. But by setting up notifications right and by setting up handoff right, you can be aware of things that come your way that are important when you're not next to your phone, because I don't carry it around the house in my pocket. I get occasionally an important text from you or from a friend, and I see that right away on my watch and I don't miss it. So those are, and countdown timer, you know, I use that a whole lot more than I thought I would. And one of the readers said that they do too. Mm-hmm. It sounds obsessive and frenzied, you know, countdown timer, you know, like you're tied to the clock. You're a slave. You're a robot. But actually the countdown timer is so easy to use. It's such a joy. It's so beautifully designed that when you're trying to schedule, you're not trying to schedule your life to the nth degree. You're just trying to make sure you don't miss something that's important. Like, you know, mm-hmm. burnt toast.
Totally. You know, go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to validate what John was saying. I use that a lot too.
Yeah. I am someone who schedules, I am fairly detailed, not obsessively, but fairly detailed about scheduling the things that I have throughout my day. And, you know, every day we have a meeting with TMO. Our staff meeting is at noon Eastern. And I have that on my calendar. Do I need it on my calendar? No, I know that it's happening at noon every day. But by putting it on my calendar, the stress of thinking, and I also, of course, put an alarm on that, a little different than the countdown timer, but the sort of the same sort of concept. the stress of thinking about how much more time do I have until, you know, my next thing, by putting a little, I have, you know, I like 30 minutes out from the meeting, I have an alarm. I also have an alarm 1 minute out. The 30 minute alarm is just a heads up, like, hey, it's 11:30 a.m. now, just FYI, because sometimes I'll get heads down and I won't, you know, be paying attention to the time necessarily in a project. And that's fine. It's like, oh, right. Okay. So I know that in a half hour, if something's happening and I can't make the meeting, you know, that everybody understands. But by and large, if I can sort of curve my day in a way that I can make it, I want to be there. So
it makes us
totally
smarter.
Makes us smarter. Right. Because you don't have to
instead of being a slave. It just keeps us. It's like black box principle. You look on the outside and you say, this person never forgets anything. They must be smart.
Right. You know, exactly.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Dave, it's funny that you do the two alarm thing like that for the meetings. Yeah. I do too. And I just assumed it was just me. I have one set at 30 minutes, and my second one is at 5 minutes.
Well, I was going, as soon as you said you did two alarms, I knew yours was before, was earlier than mine, your second one, because you're always in our hangout room before I get there. So it's clear that your alarm is before mine. But, you know, to the rest of the stuff about the watch, when I'm around the house and in my office, so in my normal daily routine, I actually have found that I do not like to wear my Apple Watch. I find the alerts too intrusive. A lot of times I'll have my phone on the desk and I will have it face down so that I don't see all the various alerts and stuff that are coming up. Mm-hmm. I can check them when I want to check them, when I have a moment to check them, but otherwise having them interrupt, even just interrupting my thinking about, you know, writing an email that I'm doing or whatever it is that I'm into, I find it just too intrusive. However, when I am not in my typical environment, so if I'm traveling or if I'm Like yesterday, I had to, we had some snow around here. And so I had to do some snow blowing in the middle of the day because it, if I didn't, it would have frozen into ice overnight and it would have been a mess. So I got the snow blower out and I kind of cleaned up the edges of the driveway where the plows had come from. And I knew it was going to take me about an hour. And so I put my Apple Watch on and I thought, okay, this is great. Now I won't be stressed wondering, am I missing something? Because, you know, while I'm running the snowblower, grabbing my phone and looking, not such a good idea. It's right. Sort of a pain in the neck. Right. So, so in though it, that's for me what the watch is, but I probably only wear my Apple Watch 20% of the time now. I wear a watch most of the time, but I, you know, I have other watches that I enjoy wearing. So that, that certainly contributes to the Apple Watch being down in the, you know, in the 20% range. But yeah, it's only when I'm out of my normal patterns that, that I truly find I like the watch. And if I don't have it, I miss it.
I got to tell you something else that brings me great joy. Every time I pay with Apple Pay, yeah, I get a giddy feeling. I haven't recovered. I haven't gotten over it. Every time I reach out my hand and it goes doink and I pay with my Apple Watch, it's just fireworks go off in my brain.
I can tell it gets all choked up just thinking about it.
I've got a frog in my throat too. So yeah, I love Apple Pay on the watch.
Yeah, it and for me it's a triage tool. I now control where I get notifications, and so in some ways I think I'm using my watch much like you, Dave. And I'm surprised to say that I still wear mine, and I have second edition. Yep. And I've been wearing an Apple Watch since it came out, and I hadn't worn a watch for 20 years prior to that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, listeners, I'm curious, how are you using your Apple Watch? How has it become a tool that is an important part of your routine? Let me know. You can shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm curious, first, because I love knowing how people use their technology. And second, because if you're doing something that's cooler than me, I want to know, because maybe it's something I should be doing too. So let me know. And we're out of time. So Dave, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. And John, thank you for being here too.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And GoDaddy, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, GoDaddy.com, and you can use the discount code TDO30 to get 30% off all your new product orders. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.